Last week, GWS dismantled their crosstown rival, Sydney.
Tony Group, 54 metres out from goal, gives it everything he's got. It's straight, and it's home. Oh, Toby, doesn't he have an impact?
There it is. Season 2018 continues for the Giants, but it is done for the Sydney Swans.
Well, over in the West, things nearly went right for Collingwood.
Here's Marco. He's on the 50, sends it all the way towards the goal. Oh. Super kick trap.
Nearly.
Jenner takes the football, stops, hooks, kicks the goal. A huge last quarter by the West Coast Eagles. They've stormed over the top of Collingwood.
Now, for both teams, there is no second chance. It's do or die.
Yeah, we're still in the fight.
For the victor comes a prelim final against a dominating Richmond.
Richmond applying enormous pressure
for
here.
For the loser, it all ends. From the Triple MCG.
MCG style.
It's Collingwood and GWS in a semi-final blockbuster.
The crowd's gone ballistic.
Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
For McDonald's.
I'm loving it.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, the Monopoly game at Macca's is on now. Head in store and play today. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks Saturday night. Second semi-finals football. GWS and Collingwood line from the MCG. Light rain falling. Fairly dark in the West as well. As I welcome Wayne Carey, Damien Barrett, Bill Brownless, Ashtua is here as well. Welcome to you, gents. Good afternoon.
Yeah, g'day, BT. You can't say it's a lovely evening, but let's hope the rain sort of just bypasses the MCG because I think this is going to be a ripper.
Who does the rain help?
It's a good question. You saw GWS play last week in the rain against a hardened Sydney midfield, and they just looked...
Isn't it the theory that the better you are, the better you play in harder conditions?
Well, that's the theory I always...
The theory is the more skillful players become even more skillful in the wet, and GWS proved that last week.
I just find it drains so well out here too, BT. I know it gets greasy and slippery.
It's almost a dry game in the wet.
Yeah, it can. I mean, the drainage of this, since they relayed it for the 2006 Commonwealth Games, it's just been extraordinary.
Collingwood playing good enough to if they do get past tonight, to do any damage or not? They're 4-4 of their last 8 weeks. GWS are 6-2 of their last 8 weeks.
Yeah, and I think when you look at these two sides, that's what you have to look at. Don't just look over the last 1 or 2 weeks. Look over the body of work leading into the finals. And you're right, Collingwood's has been, even though they've lost those games, BT, they've been competitive and they've shown signs, but...
They were good last week.
Yeah, they were very good. They were, and in the end, exactly what we thought going into the game, Bill, those taller players for West Coast eventually got them.
Home ground.
Yeah, Kennedy Darling eventually got, maybe the crowd as well.
Brian, if they win next week, Collingwood v Richmond, can you imagine that?
Friday night, yeah.
400,000, there'd be 100.
What did you do this afternoon, Bill?
Oh, I just had a little nana nap and had a couple of bets, that's all. Just sat in front of the telly.
My pick got up.
The Mighty Mayor, Winks. Brian gave us a tip, for those who don't know. And we had the rub today, and Brian said, I got a tip. He went through his phone, he went through his book, his black book, and he said, I think Winks will win today.
And then he said, he's a really good horse.
27th win in a row.
He did.
It's a mare. It's a mare.
Any news broken today, Damo? Has it been a quiet day?
No, look, VFL was on, and Casey Duck has got up through over the Essendon team.
That's a good win.
It keeps alive the chances for Melbourne players to just get back in. And is it Josh Smith?
Yeah. Josh and Bernie Vince.
And Bernie Vince got through as well. So,
isn't it amazing how the last two seasons, BT, we saw the Tigers reserves team, the VFL, got just beaten by Port Melbourne, I think, by a point last year. The Bulldogs won the reserves, the VFL, the year before. It just correlates so well with the team doing...
Why?
Well, because you've got depth underneath, so there's always pressure on those players in the senior team. So if they're not performing, they know there's someone underneath going to come in, and they're hungry.
And how reassuring, Bill, is it to know that you've still got your reserves team playing while your seniors team...
Right.
You're never out of it if you're Bernie Vince or Jaden Hunt or those guys.
Spot on. And they're playing, as you said, good footy. They're up there and about. So that is a very important win because Essendon were in front today. They look like they're going to win that.
And all the players, all the Melbourne players that I saw, all the key players were all there watching.
Yeah, they were.
You know, wet, rainy, cold conditions.
But you'd expect that.
And I drove here today past Gosh's Paddock, and the Collingwood VFL side are training there as a result of Collingwood playing here tonight to keep in touch just in case one of those guys needs to be called upon.
On what you saw last night, Dark, are there any vulnerabilities in that Melbourne team? They went in unchanged from the previous week last night. They seem to have got through unscathed again. Would that be the team that goes to Perth?
They're
22?
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah. I don't think there'll be any changes there. They are as confident as they've ever been since I've seen them. They're playing their best footy of the year right now, and that's exactly what you have to do.
Do they potentially need to look at how they structure up against the West Coast forward line? There's a Pedersen whose form may not warrant selection, but is it something like that could come into consideration?
Watch Pedersen today. Tough conditions. Didn't have a massive impact today, but like I said, I didn't watch the whole game. I had a little bit of a nana nap as well.
On what you saw last night, BT, with the way they structured up against the Hawks...
They'll back Frost and Oscar McDonald.
Are they okay to go with that same structure?
No change for me. Yeah. I think that's the way they'll go. Hey, by the way, we're just talking about the VFL. Just before we move on to that game in its entirety, Nigel Carmody has joined us from Seven's coverage of the VFL today. Nigel, a welcome to you. Casey and Essendon played today. We're particularly interested in just been discussing the benefit of Melbourne and Casey still both in the action. How did it go there for any potentials today?
Maybe too, yeah. It was an old-fashioned slog at Port. Casey got up by 8 points then. Bernie Vince didn't do his chance of a recall any harm. His shoulder got a nice old test out. He had 22 touches, kicked a pretty important goal in the first quarter, and I think he put his best foot forward along with a couple of others.
Well, so, Jaden Hunt, give us the rundown on all of those guys that perhaps were listed as emergencies last
Scarlett,
night.
And those guys.
Yeah, certainly wasn't a day for clean footy. Hunt had 14 and 10 tackles. He played just a pretty classic game in defence. Scarlett was solid, had kicked three and kicked an important three and did some good forward line work just with his pressure around the footy, which has probably been the reason that Charlie Spargo squeezed him out of the team. Cam Pedersen kicked two, had 31 hit-outs, so he might provide them with a mobile option if they want to go that way in the ruck next week as well.
Interesting indeed. Anything else out of that game we need to know about?
No, all the Bombers boys, I think, got through in fine fettle, so something to look forward to for Essendon next year with guys like Sam Draper.
Appreciate your time, Nigel.
Thanks, BT. Have a good call.
Nigel Carmody there today as part of Seven's coverage of that game there today.
See, well, by the sounds of that, then, all of the players in and around the fringe all contributed today. So it just gives Melbourne, gives options.
I mean, Joel Smith is the next one in line. I mean, probably Jaden Hunt's second to him. Joel, if someone came out and they were just looking for...
You don't think Garlett's anywhere near?
I'm hearing Joel Smith is the next one they would take. Goody absolutely adores him, I'm told. So,
well... Okay. Where does he play? Anywhere, I suppose.
Well, he's a versatile player, Bill, and that's what I'm saying. Big he can leap. Probably fill up any position almost.
And this time last year, if someone said to you that Melbourne was going to go into a preliminary final without Jaden Hunt as part of the 22, you'd be shaking your head, wouldn't you? And yet he's probably not going to be part of it.
Yep. Duck, what did you do this Savo?
I went home, actually went down Lygon Street, grabbed myself some...
So you sat in a Lygon Street restaurant by yourself?
No, I didn't. I took it home,
Oh, you had a...
Did you go and get it yourself?
Home delivery. Got it delivered.
Uber?
A duck Uber.
A cab.
All right.
And then just watched a little bit of the VFL.
I'm fascinated by this, Doug. What did you order?
Penne Matriciana.
And what else?
And by the way, Universita, 257 Lygon Street.
Yeah, well, just what did you order?
Two penne Matricianas and a spaghetti marinara.
You did. So three dishes.
Sounds to me like you might have had half a dozen people around.
No, just me.
And how many?
I had two and a
of
half.
Of those three dishes,
two and
those
a
three
half,
meals?
Two and a half. And that's why I'm very full.
And Brian, you were walking this morning.
I walked back from South Melbourne.
One of us was eating and the other one was walking.
Then I had a soup, a miso soup.
Oh, there's something wrong with
it. I loaded up on the soup with prawns and dimmies and the whole thing inside it. So chuck it all in, mate, get it in there. So a rather large soup and then fell asleep, strangely enough, for a little while, watching the V8 supercars.
It's funny how we all just had
did
a little,
nothing. Little nap. Yeah. Mm.
People out there wouldn't think it's all that amusing.
Have you woken up, actually?
No, not really. But I tell you what I'm looking forward to. Can't wait for this game to start tonight. I'm intrigued. I haven't seen Collingwood in live action for probably 5 or 6 weeks. So I'm intrigued to see them. I watch GWS pretty closely. They're my team to continue on this year. I think that better sides win, as I said earlier today. Would you say, Bill, that GWS are a better side than Collingwood right now?
Right now, a bit like Melbourne, are a better side than Hawthorn,
yep,
as we saw last night. So you'd probably say the Giants, but I love the way Collingwood went about it, how they've gone about it all year. So I like the MCG situation for Collingwood. We're not sure about the Giants at the G. They've won one out of the last five. But one bloke I am looking, and we all are, Toby Green, how he's going to go tonight. But who takes him? Is it Maynard or someone?
Well, Maynard,
well, he's talking about, hasn't he?
Put his hand up.
Yeah, he has.
Said he wants him. It may very well come down to, because of the conditions, we know how strong GWS are on ball and how many players can go through. Collingwood's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Now that Treloar's come back into this team, let's not forget guys like DeGoey. And he can go in there and pinch it in the middle too. In these conditions, you'd expect the big body to be valuable in there. But it might come down to Green to Goey. They're both obviously very good players. Green's got more runs on the board, but they're going to play an integral part tonight.
The psychology around what Maynard said during the week about going public with wanting to play on Green. It was very, it wasn't the extremities of what they do in the US sports, but it was down that path to a point, wasn't it? Which is unusual in the AFL system.
Tell you what you do, you put pressure on yourself.
Well, you normally do that sort of thing in-house, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just put added pressure on yourself. And if I was Toby Green and Maynard didn't line up on me, I'd be letting Maynard know that, the coach didn't have confidence in
right.
you.
and if he did line up on him.
And if he did line up on him, then
I'm going to whip your back.
That's exactly right. And especially there are certain players, BT, and this is why, remember years ago, and even a year or two ago, someone targeted Bonampelli, and Bonampelli got better and had an amazing game. Guess what happened? No one targets Bonampelli anymore.
Yeah, remember
there that. Are certain players you just don't want to fire up any more than what they're going to be.
Is
you know
Green
Toby one of those? Green's going to be fired up. I wouldn't want to prickle him any more than what he will already be. So there's just blokes.
Is he lucky to be here tonight?
Toby? Yeah. No, absolutely not.
I reckon he was.
You know what? I know there's a lot of talk, and it was the one where he was, what he did wrong with that last one where he put his leg out. All the others, he jumped in the air, which means you were allowed to. The one where he was planted and then put the foot out, I think that was the one that maybe they might look at changing, BT.
Looked very ugly to me.
But BT, we on the footy show on Thursday night dragged out three incidents of you doing what Toby Green did, but 10 times worse.
You were in the ruck, right?
You went straight for the...
You ran straight at your opponent. With the leg stretched out.
It kicked him in the groin.
Yeah.
He did.
That was all right.
No, it wasn't. There's another marking contest where you just put your head to the bloke's back.
Dean Lakely, I think there was.
It was too.
Yeah.
But see, last night...
By the way, blanketing rain here at the moment.
Yep, very controversial adjudications on the sliding rule last night, which you and Duck were all over at the time. And my take on it was just the umpires in the situations just making the wrong call. But there were multiple examples of it. What did you make of it, Duck, and what needs to happen tonight on the back of the AFL taking the briefings out of last night going into tonight?
I've used a lot of words, atrocious. That's what I'll put those decisions
still.
Down to. Still. And unfortunately for the umpires, unless they've had a directive today.
No, let's separate it here. Was it atrocious umpiring, which I don't think it was, or was it them umpiring to the decision of how to call it?
I think that the umpires are now confused with what is contact below the knees. We know that if a player slides in or dives on the ball, standing up and dives in on the ball to someone's lower leg.
Like Lewis
or
did.
Or slides in. Now, both Brayshaw and Lewis were already on the ground and they put their head over it and went for the footy. Players ran in, they got their legs taken from under them, and players are now getting very smart at doing that.
Yeah.
And just really poor decision. So I hope, Bill, hope today there's been a directive to the umpires to say, listen, boys,
raise a ray on
those ones last night were not free kicks. Be careful about those. The ones we want to pay are these ones. And I hope they fix it for tonight. Because and by the way, tonight...
Are you putting those umpires on notice tonight, Doug?
You would have to be.
Who are they, Brian?
Ray Chamberlain, Robert Finlay and Sean Ryan.
Well, we're all very good umpires, so they should get it right. But tonight's conditions, very different to last night. Yeah. I mean, it was beautiful. So it's going to be harder to adjudicate tonight, given that players will be sliding around a bit more. But if anyone's got their head over it and is going for the footy, not sliding in, not diving in, but already over the footy, then that is not a free kick.
Do you think they'll make a readjustment, Damo?
Yeah. But my take on what happened last night, though, BT, was they were just the wrong calls on those instances. Yeah. That's my take.
Do you think they got it wrong?
Yeah, I reckon the actual umpires who made the determinations on the incidents that were in front of them got it wrong. And I would like to think that's what the problem was last night, not that that's how they're meant to adjudicate in those circumstances.
So what would have happened today? The AFL would have
They won't like to admit that they're changing or reacting to what happened on the night before's game, but there'll be little reminders, I'd imagine, going on about now in the rooms.
So listen, Steve Hocking would have made a call to Hayden Kennedy, would he, or not?
I just think he said, listen, guys, just remind these umpires tonight what we sent out to the clubs at the start of the year with this rule.
We might try to get Hayden Kennedy on, BT. All right. Have a little bit of a chat to him about
that. That'd be a good idea. We'll do that. We'll try and do that. Lyndon Dunn from the Collingwood Football Club joins us. Have you play a lot of Monopoly in your day, Lyndon, or not?
I've had a few fights with the younger brothers.
It's funny because Dunn said he had someone in a headlock.
Last week.
My son, he really enjoys, but he's got a Mario Monopoly that he likes to play, so and he usually cleans up, so I try and steer clear of that.
Right. Now, I see in the news during the week you're trying to lighten things up a bit with your return to the track.
Yeah.
It certainly worked. Got a giggle or two.
Had my first run during the week and thought I'd find the worst kit possible and... put that on and took the boys for a warm-up, which was good, and tried to get the energy up. And, you know, it's probably our most important training session in the last 5 years. And to start like that is probably questionable from some people's eyes.
But, did you get permission to do it, or did you just do it?
For those who didn't see it, what was it you were wearing? It was a wig of some description.
Yeah, it was just a wig, and I'd popped into the Salvo store earlier in the week and had $20 in my wallet and managed to pick out 5 or 6 bits of clothing, and it's probably the Foodora jacket that I had was probably the best $8 I've ever spent, I reckon.
So you weren't taking anyone off in particular?
No, well, I went out, I had a little a music player with me and played You're Sexy and You Know It, because when you got it, you flaunt it, Duck, as you would know.
Beautiful. One of my favourite sayings.
they were saying I looked like Redfoo, but I'm not sure. I wasn't trying to be anyone, but I'll take it.
And last year, had you dared ask the coach to go out onto the track looking like that, you probably would have got a no, but this year with the new way that he seems to be approaching the world, you've got a yes.
Yeah, well, I think that's been the biggest change at the footy club is that, we've got a lot of people that were there last year and have been at the club for a number of years, but we've tweaked a few things, and there's no doubt the performances that you're seeing throughout the year are because of the energy and the environment at the footy club during the week, Monday to Friday.
Is it true that Bucks has stepped away from some meetings, which otherwise in years gone by he would have been involved in, and he's sort of stepped back a little bit?
Oh, definitely. I've only been at the club, for 2 years, but he's certainly taken a backward step, and that's not a bad thing. It's probably less is more. So, Bucks he's been super this year.
By the way, what did you make of? Were you here? Did you come watch your old mob last night?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you make of it?
It's very exciting for the Melbourne Footy Club, and it's great to see some friends out there enjoying themselves and put themselves into a prelim and with the chance to beat West Coast again twice in 5 weeks over there and maybe playing a grand final. It was it was different being here watching them play the way they did, and not that I was surprised, but I certainly enjoyed myself and all the better. Hopefully we see them in 2 weeks' time and beat them by a point. That'd be perfect.
Oh, did you get in the rooms? Because you're still very close. You go out for dinners during the week?
Yeah, I didn't go down the rooms. Gorney would have loved that, but I'll steer clear of the rooms, I think.
And your recovery, I see this is good. When you're trained so close here to the tan, the boys like to walk around the tan all the time, and they just grab a coffee on the way around, and that's been a big part of your recovery, hasn't it, Dunny?
Yeah, it has. Tim Broomhead's taken me under his wing, so we've got a little walking group. Matt Scharenberg's joined us as well, and we're rolling around just at the top of the Anderson Street Hill earlier in the week. In other words,
at the bot.
Pardon me?
In other words, at the bot.
Yeah, well, that's where Bill was sitting having a coffee. Yeah. This is where the story's leading. So we were working hard, and Bill's just sitting there having a bit of brekkie, as he does. So, there's certainly a few friendly faces walking around the tan.
I just want to see if you're getting the right advice, because if you run the tan, you run up the hill. But if you walk the tan, you walk down the hill. So the traffic comes towards you. So what way do you walk?
No, we go up the hill.
You walk up the hill. Yeah. No, well, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what, there's some upside here for the Collingwood players tonight, Lyndon, because Mason Cox, of course, and be good to see how he goes. Treloar will be better for the run. Pendlebury, who just looked a bit off last week, and he even said that during the week. Even Hoskin Elliott. So there's a bit of upside, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. We did a lot right last week, and we felt like we sort of gave the game away in the end. And, you know, we got belted around the ball in the last quarter, which was the tail of the tape in the end. But we've certainly got, I would like to think, 6 or 7 goals more in us. Not that we've spoken about that this week, but if we can bring it back to playing our footy, and, you know, the Giants love stoppages. They're hard and tough around the footy, which is where we're at as well. I think if we can get those numbers in the green for most of the night, then the results should go away.
Hey, there's a bit of talk. You mentioned Pendlebury then, Bill. There's a bit of talk that he got a bit of a accidental whack in the mush last week, and it may have loosened a few teeth, and he's going to have a little bit of work done at the end of the year, not now. But that would affect you. You did have a reasonably quiet game after that, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm not actually sure when the knock happened. But, you know, you never really want incidental contact from a teammate. I'm pretty sure one of the boys pushed one of the West Coast Eagle boys into him. And
it would unnerve you, because when you get your teeth all loose, it's not the best feeling, is it?
Well, the worst feeling in footy is running out without your mouth guard in your sock, and you're like, oh no, here we go. And when you don't, that one time you don't have your mouth guard, something always goes wrong. But luckily, he had his mouth guard in, and he might need a few more other facial surgeries as well to go with those teeth.
Really, was that bad?
A lot of people don't.
Oh no, he's just talking about his looks there.
Oh, his looks.
Straight over your head.
A lot of people
worries.
Don't realise that it becomes a part of your armour, the mouth guard, because some players don't wear them all, but you do. It's very important.
That,
I want to ask you about Maynard. Obviously, the defence, you've got a lot of injuries in your back half, you being one of them, and guys are having to play above their size. Maynard has put his hand up for green. What do you think of a teammate doing that publicly, and do you think it'll happen?
Did Bruz say that, did he? That he
was going to go green? Well, it was in the paper, so I believe it.
Yeah, okay. No. It's been everywhere, and Bruzzy's made that very public himself, so good luck to him. If that's the way Bruzzy plays his footy, wears his heart on his sleeve, and that's why we love him. Toby's a super player. The whole forward line, you know, with Cameron and the other boys.
Himmelberg's a good player, isn't he? He's an underrated player, Himmelberg.
Well, Langdon as well is very underrated. He's probably their best pressure player. But, you know, Bruz will go to green tonight. And, he's put himself out there. So good luck to him.
What did you make of the way Tyson Goldsack handled himself last week after missing the entire year and then going first up against one of the game's greats?
Yeah, it's no real surprise to me. And, you know, a lot of the footy world's spoken about it. But we've obviously seen Tyson, the way he's rehabbed himself this year and played the last 2 weeks in the VFL. And it's a credit to who he is as a person and a player. And you don't just come in and knock over JK any old day. And I think Josh kicked a couple late, but we couldn't have been happier with Goldie's performance and that he got through unscathed.
If you were in Goldie's position, that is, the weeks lined up and the similar part of the year and that to the injury, would you have... And given your age, would you have had a crack at a similar thing or not?
Yeah, so Goldie and I basically, I think there's 10 days apart, like in age. Yeah, and I'll be right for the first JLT game, all going well. And the physio said to me that 2 weeks ago I was probably ahead of where Goldie was at the same time. I don't need to be as aggressive because I've got a whole pre-season to get through. You know, round one will be eight and a half months for me, and that's plenty of time, and I plan to be out there around.
But if you're in his position...
Oh, definitely. Why wouldn't you?
Have a crack.
He didn't do anything... he didn't take any unwarranted risks or anything that was going to be, put him in a really serious position of doing it again. He just ticked every box, and they were a little bit more aggressive with it because they could be of where he was at. It's paid dividends.
Interesting. See, Ben Reed named as an emergency. So he's been training okay?
He has, yeah. Big Bruce is coming along nicely. Whether he plays or not next week, who knows? But it's nice to have him out on the training track uninjured. Moving well. He actually trained very, very well on Thursday. So hopefully, you know, if something does happen next week, he might get his chance because he's a serious player and we'd love to have him back out there.
We're speaking with Lyndon Dunn. Here's Damien Barrett.
And just on the guys who are out of the 22 tonight, is Darcy Moore, in your eyes, still a factor potentially if you get through tonight?
Well, definitely. He's in the same position as Reedy. There's other boys. You know, those two are probably the closest coming back from injury to getting into the team. We've got a couple other boys who are ready to go as well. And, you know, Jared Blair and Cal Brown, Josh Dacos, Jack Madgen. We've probably got 28, 29 squad to pick from for a weekend's game of 22.
A lot of talk last week about Mason Cox. I think he's had an unbelievable year. He's been really good. Just got sort of shoved under the footy. I don't expect him to take marks. I don't judge him on taking marks, but he just got pushed under the footy. And one of his great strengths is when he doesn't mark it, he at least can put the ball where he wants to. Last week wasn't quite able to do that.
Yeah, Mace put his hand up as well, and he was pretty dirty on the way that he played. And most footballers are pretty proud and want to play well, especially in a final and in your first final. And exactly what you said, Duck. We expect nothing more, nothing less of what you just said. Just bring the ball to ground. You know, he's obviously going to take a few marks because he's a monster, but all he needs to do is bring it down to the ground and bring, you know, Dugowie, Stevenson, Hoskin, Elliott, Varko, these sort of boys into the play, and he plays his role. So I've got no doubt that I wouldn't want to be playing on Big Mace tonight.
Just watching Razor Ray out there warm up. Ooh. He's one of the umpires. He actually is going from end to end inside the 50s to the where the teams are warming up in the 50s at each end and running into the 50s. Ray, the centre square, mate.
He just
bounce the ball, you know what, probably.
BT, he just wants to be noticed.
Oh, gee.
How's the umpires been going, Lyndon? Have you seen over the final series so far?
No comment. I might stick with that, Bill.
Who's surprised you more, Majacek or Main this year? Because both have played integral parts for your club.
Yeah, it's. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's a good question. I think with Mainey, out of favour last year, I've been in the same position when I was at Melbourne in my last year, and it's obviously hard to go through as a player. And Chop, his role this year has been huge. He's been locked down a wing with Flip and Steele on the other wing, and been really, really important. He went to McGovern last week and shut him down. And you know, when he was at Freo, he was a defensive forward. Sometimes he was playing second tall, so it's really good. You know, not only for him, but for us as a footy club to see him playing so well in such an important role. And then, Checker, he's been huge. He was came in, obviously, 24-year-old from the VFL, fullback, few injuries, went up forward, took his chance, loves a goal. His goal now, for someone who's played second-tier fullback for so long, he's like a Jaden Stevenson when the ball hits the deck inside our forward 50.
You obviously had a close relationship with Maxi Gawn from the Melbourne days, and you've obviously seen for the past 2 years the development and progress of Brody Grundy. Who's better?
Well, Brody's definitely a better bloke. wouldn't be very hard. Look, I've actually watched Maxi's. His tap ruck work is unbelievable, and it's a pleasure to watch. And I'm sure the boys like Brayshaw and Clary Oliver and those boys in the guts there, it's just feeding them. Gorney's taken his game to a whole new level, and he's been very good for a number of years now. But Brody, the way that he's come on, they play totally different styles of ruck, which is also intriguing. Brody's almost like another midfielder. Yeah. Rarely see him down the line. We try and get him there, but he just doesn't do it. He runs the Brody show, and he's honestly very important for us, obviously, as well. And his tap ruck work has gone to a new level this year, and it was great to see both the boys in the Australian team.
Got a job today, or are you just going to wobble around? What's happening today?
No, I'll be in the coach's box. Oh, will you? Yeah, I've been had an official role for the last few weeks.
What are you doing there?
Yeah. I try and stay out of the phone getting thrown in the back of my head from Bucks when he's going off. But I just sit at the front with Justin Longmuir and help look after the team defence and watch the matchups down there. And because I'm on the long-term injury list, I can go down at quarter time and three-quarter time and talk to the boys as well, which is good.
So we know you should know the matchups then. Cameron, Green and Himmelberg, you'll know those matchups, would you?
Yeah, Maynard's playing on Green.
Yep.
And we'll find the other two out, I suppose, at 7 there, Bill.
Very good. Nice to have you in the box. I appreciate you coming out of the box and giving us your time, Lyndon, and good luck with your recovery.
Thanks for having me, boys.
On you, Dunny.
Lyndon Dunn from the Collingwood Football Club. Been great to have him here. Can't wait for this one to get underway tonight. GWS and Collingwood for McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Just a couple of items going around, guys. Richmond Footy Club, as we know, have been preparing to introduce Tom Lynch to their mix for next year, and they've cleverly gone about the contracting of players they've already got on their list. Sean Grigg, Bashir Hooley were announced on Friday as signing new one-year deals, BT. So they're mopping up all the loose ends. Oleg Markov has signed a two-year deal. We know that they've renegotiated their key players over the past 12 to 18 months, and so they're all positioned beautifully. He's going to come into that mix on a wage that is nowhere near what he could get if he wanted to chase the money. It'll be a nice wage, but it'll be less than what he's been on for probably the last 3 years at the Gold Coast Suns. He's been on $1 million at least the past two, quite possibly the past three and four. So he's going to take a bit less to join. The other story that's still unfolding, and I know we've all discussed this regularly probably for the last 4 months, is Stephen May. And when you get to this point where he still can't commit to being at the Suns beyond the contracted year he's got for next year, there's a possibility that they will go to the AFL officially and say, we want to rip up this contract that we've got with Stephen May, and he'll be party to this, because that would then make him a free agent.
Yep.
It would then make him able to choose his club of choice, which I believe will be Collingwood, and then the Gold Coast Suns would receive a very lucrative compensation package for that loss, and that would allow them to have pick two from their draft, yep, ladder position in the draft, pick three for loss of Lynch.
And don't tell me pick four
and
for
pick
Stephen
four
May.
For loss of Stephen
so
May.
So two, three and four in the national draft.
I don't expect the AFL to sign off on it, but it has been inquired about at the highest levels. Whether they go through with it's yet to be seen. So,
and if they, and the problem with that is, even if they got two, three, four, if they go to the draft, and I know we've spoken about this at length.
No, but if you get the picks, can't you then trade them for
well,
other
that's,
players?
That,
you
but
can do that.
BT, my, yes, you can, obviously. And that's what I think they should do,
right,
but they won't. I've heard they're going to the draft. So they're going to just put more kids
yeah
with other kids, and they're going to
lose their both
and
captains.
They're going to be same position because no one's there to develop them.
Mate, you can't lose.
Try and get a roughhead or someone to try and help that out at a very low price.
Well, I don't think Ruffy fits the bill as such because he's right at the end.
Yeah.
And I know Hodge and Brisbane are a little bit different, but they need to, like I said, they need 23, 24 at oldest 25-year-olds that want to buy in and go to that footy club and give them automatic impact and automatic ability to develop these younger kids rather than kids, like I said. They just keep putting kids after kids. It's not going to work.
No. There's no way Ruff's going to Gold Coast either, is there?
I wouldn't have thought so, BT. No. And again, we discussed it off in the Saturday Rub this afternoon. We've all got the view. I've got the view strongly that Alistair Clarkson is not being absolutely true to himself if he doesn't apply the same logic and outcome to what he's done with Hodge, Lewis and Mitchell in the past two seasons in this particular period. So
Hawthorn are talking to Stephen May too.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They are. They're talking to everyone. Dylan Shield's another one they will get. And the Dylan Shield story will take some clarity once the GWS season is finished, contracted for next year, as is Tom Scully. But they've got to clear out at least $1 million on their budgets going into next year. And that figure of $1 million may well be closer to $2 million, but it's at least $1 million, which is going to take some negotiation to just get them onto the field under the AFL rules for next year. Swans are an interesting story too. Hanbury out, Rowan out, and that they are club decisions as much as they are individual decisions. The club has gone to those players throughout the course of the year and put it in their heads about the future, and they've both accepted that now, and I would say reluctantly on at least one of those occasions, Rowan, but ultimately they will not be there. Newman's another one.
Lloyd,
he's going to be out.
Maybe.
And Lloyd's yet to commit, Duck. Yeah, now, again, he may stay, but the money that was initially there to go to the Gold Coast, Bill, I don't expect him to take the Gold Coast offer. I think it's, though, what it has opened up his eyes to the potential for him to just get out of the Swans anyway, but again, they haven't given up on him, Duck, but they are yet to commit to him, and he's yet to commit to them as well.
Are you rock solid on John Longmire being there in the long term?
I am, yeah. Well, certainly for next year. You know, I think it's all part of the discussions that have to be had.
And they've got to change the way they play, don't they?
You'd think so.
Has the impact now of Tippett and Buddy and these massive contracts, is that now squeezing
yes
the likes of these players? Well, it squeezed Mumford and those guys out initially. No,
and Parker and those high-paid players.
So is that now squeezing these guys out at the,
no,
the other end?
No, I don't believe so.
Just while the banner's up, Damo, I'll just read it. It's the Pies versus the Giants. They're in our nest. We'll send them home with a kick to the chest. I reckon Ed might have written that. Sorry, Damo.
Duck, I believe not when it comes to Buddy, because he signed the... It was basically me and Buddy.
I meant Buddy and Tippett and...
Well, again, typically they've managed to negotiate out of the club, and while there was a deal in place initially to take in 2019, that will be cut off now,
yep,
and as such, so they'll be free of his coin. And Buddy Franklin is going to be taking less money than a lot of players in the competition. It's still going to be around about $1 million next year, but Buddy would get more than that on the open market, and Buddy would be... I would get more even that the Swans had he negotiated differently when he's first signed.
Both sides are out there. They've done their warm-up. They're back inside being addressed for the final time now, not far off entering the MCG.
A little bit of a cheeky banner there from the Pies, BT. Do you want to read that out?
You could read that, Duck, if you want.
Oh, you can read it.
I think he already has.
Yeah, but it's a new relay stations have joined us, Bill. A couple of minutes. It's the Pies versus the Giants. They're in our nest. We'll send them home with a kick to the chest.
So that's a little dig at Toby Green.
All right, let's get down to...
Read it out again.
And a big welcome to Merrily Meadows, who's downstairs, and she's with Heath Shaw.
Yes, I've got GWS superstar defender Heath Shaw with me, but he's got a giant brace on his left knee and the crutches as well. Heath, no doubt you'd want to be out there tonight, particularly against your old club.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling, I suppose, like coming to the MCG. I can't remember the last time I've actually watched a game of footy here. But, yeah, it's exciting times. The crowd's sort of slowly building up here, and, yeah, I wish I was out there.
The good news is your flatmate, Lachie Keefe, is into the team tonight. What does he bring?
To the house or to the game?
Both.
Keefe's a really good cook. He cooks a good roast. Sundays is usually he's cooking the roast for me, which has been good.
And puts up with your OCD?
He certainly does. I'm getting a bit over his pork roast, but I wanted to mix up a bit. but for tonight's game, he's pretty much a lockdown defender. He knows his role is to stop one of their key forwards. And then if he gets the opportunity to run off and create, he might be chopping out in the ruck at some point, but his main objective tonight is just to lock down one of their bigs.
So, Heater, have you had a little bit of trouble with your knee? You've had that, two, 3 weeks ago now? You shouldn't be on crutches now.
No, it's a slow process. With the PCL and the medial is sort of on the outside of your knee, so you got to try and keep it as secure as possible. So I've got the brace on to protect that, and then whenever I'm walking long distances, like up the race just before, I need the crutches, so just to get me moving a bit quicker.
Hey, Heater, would it be fair to say that GWS have a harder edge this year than other years because you've had to sort of fight for where you are at the minute?
To be honest, I think we've had a hard edge for the last few years, but where we've got to and the injuries and setbacks we've had throughout this year have definitely held us in good stead to get to this point of the year. We've had players miss chunks of footy, and then sort of obviously last week the four guys came straight into a final, so it's been an indifferent year, but we've played in two prelims and we know what it takes to get there.
Just on those guys that came in last week, how have they pulled up this week? Often the second week up can be a problem.
To be honest, I've got no idea. I don't really. I haven't gone to any of the meetings, and I've just watched training from afar. But obviously, everyone talks about the second week blues. But if you can't get yourself up and ready to go for a final at the MCG on a Saturday night, there's something wrong with you.
Heath, do you have a line of sight on the Josh Kelly situation? How close was he to getting right for this week? And if you do get through as a club tonight, will he be right for the prelim?
Yeah, I think the plan was he had a little trot around the other day and just wasn't comfortable. So they pulled the pin on that pretty quickly. They're still hoping that next week he'll rest up for the rest of this week, get through tonight, hopefully get the win, and he'll train next week in order to play.
Heater, Billy here, mate. Interesting with Keefe coming in. As you said, he might give Lob a chop out because he's up against one of the best here tonight in Brody Grundy.
Yeah, obviously Brody's had an amazing year, and he's a tough opponent. He's like an extra on ball, Brody. He gets his 20 or 25 touches a game, so it's going to play a big part in tonight's game, and Lobby's done a good job for us in the past, but we'll also want to use him up forward at some point as well because he's got some big hands and he's hard to match up on there.
Heater, other than you, Toby Green's my favourite player.
Oh, really?
GWS. There's been a lot of controversy
around
him
man.
The last couple of weeks. What have you taken from all of that?
Someone has to be the villain now. I'm out of the team. So, Toby, it's funny because Toby's a pretty quiet guy off the field, but once he crosses that line and he's out there, he's on for young and old, and that's why we love playing with him. And you never know what you're going to get with Toby, but you do know one thing, and that's that he's going to give it his all, and he's a superstar as well.
Just on that, Heath, with Toby, does he lap it up when it happens? Does he go and seek it? Even the first game back he played this year after the initial extended time on the sidelines, he was straight into the faces of opponents. Do you find he goes seeking it?
Definitely. He loves the big stage. He loves playing well on the big stage, and I suppose he's missed so much footy this year. He's been like a caged animal to get out there, and last week he was really excited to play against our arch rivals in a final in front of a big crowd, and no doubt he'll do the same again tonight.
You would have found a spot to watch the mighty mayor Winks today, Heater?
Yeah, I was actually I was at the Pullman where the boys are staying, and I was sitting next to my old mate Mick Malthouse, and he's got no idea about horse racing, but I had to pause him for a little bit and watch Winks run, and yeah, it was special.
What's Mick doing there?
We were just catching up, mate.
What about?
Oh boy.
We just catch up every time I come to Melbourne. He's like my second father. So
Mick loved the Brat Pack, didn't he?
He certainly did, and I reckon if Toby played underneath Mick, he would love him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Love him.
Hey, by the way, what's your role? You got any role, or you just roll-less these days?
I'll just lurk around the change rooms, make sure everyone's going all right. I think I'm going to be in the coach's box tonight, sitting next to our backline coach, Mark McVeigh, because Leon's on the bench, so I just wanted to stay away from Leon because he gets a bit intense at times.
He's torn tonight because still getting paid by Collingwood and then getting well paid by the Giants, so he's torn.
Hey, good luck. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thanks, guys.